So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, since I don't think even the students that I have, I don't think you guys probably know my story. I grew up in Warrenton, lived here until the age of 24, and then I moved down to Springfield, Missouri, went to school at Baptist Bible College for a year, and then I got married that year and then went another year down to BBC. And then I moved. I got a job as a youth pastor and moved to Detroit, Michigan, well, Garden City, Michigan, but it's like 15 minutes from Detroit. And we had a great time up there for 3 years. We were up there and I loved it. But we were really excited to be able to move back to hometown because I love Warrenton. And some of you guys are like, I can't wait to graduate to get out of Warrenton. But I'm the exact opposite. I love Warrenton. I love my high school days. I love all the friends that I still have here. And it's really cool to go away and come back and see how Warrenton has been shaped and formed. But I want to go back in time when I was growing up. I went to church all my life. And the question that a lot of people ask me, that they would say, are you saved? So I want to get that question in your head real quick. Are you saved? And with that mindset, what I would do is I would say yes, and then they would say, when did you get saved? And my answer would be, I've always been saved. I would say, I never knew a time that I wasn't saved. And so I went along life with that mentality, but I never had a come to Jesus moment. And I'll explain what that means here in a second. And so I lived my life. I went to church. My parents forced me to go to church, which wasn't a bad thing. Forced me to go to church. And what ended up happening is I created a habit of impressing people. And what I did is my ability, or what I believe salvation to be, was if I did things good enough, I would be saved. But I thought I was saved, so what that meant was if I did bad things, then I would lose my salvation. See, I pictured God as this God who smited you and was so disappointed in you and just was mad at you if you did something wrong, but loved you and embraced you when you did everything right. So what that did is that translated into my daily life. So with, like, if I was in your grade, I would do whatever I could for you to like me. Because if you thought I was a good person, then in my brain, I thought I was a good person, and then God liked me. Therefore, I was saved. That's moralism. I lived my life this way based on people's opinions about me for so long. And man, I don't know about you, but I can tell you when I'm trying to do that, when I'm basing my like whole identity and my self-worth on the opinions of people, man, that is so burdensome, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's how I would be. And that's how I was. And I was getting so tired of trying to impress. Right? Like, I'll tell you a story. I was in my zoology class. I had a teacher named Mrs. Hopper, and she was my zoology teacher. She was awesome. Loved her. She was so good at what she did. And I sat by this pretty girl named Ashley. And Ashley, I liked Ashley. And when I say like, I like Ashley, right? You guys know what that means. So I did, and I had a crush on her, and like, so we were good friends, and like, I would mess with her, and then all of a sudden, one day, I find out Ashley's got a boyfriend. Like, oh, no. Like, yeah, exactly, DJ, that's how I felt. Yes. And I was like, no! Like, why? Well, this guy comes into the room, being a gentleman, carries her books, And he walks into the room, he sets them down, talks to her. Again, we're still sitting by each other. Sets them down, and they talk a little bit, and like, just jealousy is just creeping in. And I'm like, oh, no, sir, no, sir. And so, like, he leaves the room, and this is what I turn to Ashley. This is why I say to Ashley. Ashley, next time you need your books brought into the room, tell your boyfriend to sit them at the door, and I'll get them for you. Completely joking. Maybe there was a nugget of truth, but completely joking. And what happened was she told him, what? No! Like, and so what ended up happening is this guy hated my guts, my innermost soul. He hated it. And he, what he did, this is what he did. So you guys are me, okay? So this is what, he walks into the room and he just stares me down.
Bye, Ashley.
And he walks out. The only time he left eye contact with me was to say, bye, Ashley. And I was like, we talked about it. This moralism, this mindset of I wanted everybody to like me. I felt this tall. And I did that all the way up until eighth grade. I did that with everybody. I wanted to be liked because that was what I based my salvation on. It's so brutal when we do that. Because it's so, you can't maintain that. At some point you're going to lie. At some point you're going to pretend like you're something you're not. It wasn't until eighth grade year that I went to summer camp with my church. Again, I was forced to go. I didn't necessarily want to go because I love my summers. But I went, and so I'm sitting there with in this huge, huge, this is in Kansas City, Missouri, huge camp. There's like 1,000 kids there at least. And this pastor gets up who had come and he spoke at the church I was at a couple times, so I'd gotten to know him. But he's up there and he's speaking. He says this. He goes, I know there's some of you in here that are struggling with your salvation. You're basing all of your salvation, your ability to get to heaven, your ability to spend, when you die, to spend eternity in heaven, you're basing all of that on how good you are. And he said, you'll never be good enough. He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No one deserves heaven. And he goes, but, he said, God sent his son, John 3:16, sent his son in this world and died on the cross because you and I sin and don't deserve heaven. He dies on the cross because he has to take a penalty of death on our behalf in order for us to make it there. See, someone has to die. That's the penalty of sin. Some, like, you look at the Old Testament in the Bible, and you'll see, like, they did sacrifices of animals because something had to die for our sin nature. And so in order for us to have this resolution with God, he sent his son to die for you and to die for me. And so Troy Covey, he covers all of this, and he says, so, are you banking on you? Or are you banking on the saving works of Jesus Christ? So Jesus died and rose again, went to heaven, and now if you accept him and what you admit, you're a sinner, God, I can't save myself, I need help. And he goes, I'm sending my son to die for you, and you have to believe in him and follow him, and you'll be saved. That's your salvation. It's a gift. He goes, you don't have to work for it. Stop working for it. Turn to him. When he said that, I just broke down because I was like, I was carrying so much. I was carrying the opinions of others on my back. And I went straight up to him and said, "Hey, I want to know Jesus as my Savior." And he said, "Okay, let's make it happen." So we prayed, and I said, "God, I'm a sinner and I need your help. I want to get to heaven. I want to have a relationship with you. And I've been trying to do it on my own for so long, and I'm done doing it. Help me. I believe what your son did on the cross saved me. Thank you." And that night I was saved. Now, do I still struggle with the opinions of others? Yeah, that didn't go away. But now I know if I died right now, you saw me murder in the house and I fall dead, you can guarantee I'll be in heaven. I know it because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And he did it for you too. But you have to believe in him and receive it. And then you have assurance. What I want to do is I want to pray with you guys. And as we pray, I want you to think about it. And I'm not going to have anybody raise hands. I'm not going to have anybody come forward. But what I want to do with you is if this hit you, if this hit you at all, and you're sitting in the pew and you're like, "Pastor Jason, I don't know God like you know God. I don't know the saving work of Jesus Christ that you're talking about." I want you to come talk to me. I want you to come talk to my wife. Sarah's her name. Where's your name, Sarah? She's right up front in the middle. Talk to Pastor Mark. Talk to Don. Don, raise your hand. I want you guys to know for sure before you go home tonight that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for your loving grace. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin based off of what Jesus did on the cross for me. God, I pray that that's a reality in everyone in here's lives. I ask that, God. I pray that if there's anyone in here that's unsure, Father, that you are working on their heart to make sure that they know that they're going to heaven when they die, that they have a relationship with you before they walk out of here. God, I ask that you would just keep us safe tonight as we play games and we have fun, but eternity is more important than our just general happiness now. So God, I pray that you would put that as a priority in our life before happiness and feelings and whatnot. Father, be with these teens and us adults as we go out, and we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy that you show us. Even though we don't deserve it, you give it to us anyway, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.